Well, it's a special joy to also have with us Pastor Eldon Lois Kropp, all the way from Africa. You know, as a church, we've prayed a lot for them over the last year, maybe 2 years, for the sale of the property in Malawi. Maybe if Pastor Eldon could just give a brief word of greetings. Could you come and just share a brief word of greeting?
I don't have my coat on.
Never mind.
Well, it's a joy to be here. I said to my wife, we were communicating by Skype because she was here and I was still Tanzania holding on. And I said to her one day, I woke up and I felt the presence of the Lord. I said, something is happening today. Well, she said, you said that before. That's true. That is true. But I received an email 5 o'clock in the morning from my lawyer. Now, that's very abnormal. I don't know whether he had a delay on or what, but he asked me a question. He said, can we send part of it? So something was happening. And then the next day, he showed me proof that something's in the works. There's little delays in Malawi. They check certain things and so forth, but something is happening. And we just thank God for your prayers, because it's just God. It's just God. And God wants us to leave with joy. And so we're very thankful for that. So it happened very quickly, and flights from Mbeya to Dar es Salaam were very full. If nothing had happened on Thursday, I would not have been able to get a flight on Friday, and I would not have been here today, and I would not have been at the convention, because Saturday and Sunday were fully booked. There was no way to do it. So something is happening, and God is able. He's faithful. But we thank you. Thank you very much for your prayers, and don't stop praying yet. It's an important lesson for us, but we rejoice in God's goodness, and I'm so thankful that God is able, He's faithful, and He wants to accomplish His purposes in our lives for His honor and for His glory. May God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Eldon. Let's keep praying that all the money will be finally released. Amen. And again, it's a real joy to have Pastor Gazaway minister the Word of God this morning. Pastor and Sister Gazaway are dear friends, and we thank God for them. And I am inspired by Pastor Gazaway at his age, you know, 84, I think it is, and he is still pressing on, aiming to hit the mark, to win Christ. And that is a real inspiration, you know, to all of us. He's been faithful in Concord Church over many, many years. And also we thank God for Pastor Bay. When we were praying about, my wife and I were praying about that God had something new for us. This was back in, when we were back in New Zealand, 2003. We felt our time was coming to an end in New Zealand, and God was going to open up something else. And it was at that time that Pastor Bailey, God gave Pastor Bailey a vision of us, you know, coming here to... Pastor Gazaway had a vision of Meryl and myself, you know, coming up here and helping Pastor Bailey at Zion. And so that was a real confirmation, and God confirmed that in other ways. And so let's just open our hearts to the Lord now as Pastor Gazaway comes and brings the Word of God to us. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. I should probably tell the rest of the story. And Brother Wallace, we were sitting at the table, and the Lord spoke to me about him, and I looked over and I said, I got a word for you. And then the Lord said, no, you don't say nothing until you pass it by Brother Bailey. So Brother Wallace says, what is it? What is it? What is it? And so he had to wait his turn, all right? I want to thank everyone for the privilege of being with you this morning. I am closer to 90 than I am 80, and so I've had a birthday. So we all have birthdays, all right? So here we are this morning. I tried my best to get out of it and was hemming and hawing around with Brother Wallace, and the life of Christ in me said, you are going to speak Sunday morning. And so with that in mind, that's why I'm here. Right? I'm not here to speak. I'm here to have fellowship, but I trust the Lord will speak to us. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, you are so good to us, and I appreciate your goodness. I thank you for your presence. I thank you for the God-given Spirit of God within us to release itself to your people, which we are. We're bought with a price. And with that in mind, we're asking that the Spirit of God will give revelation to what you want to say, and we will thank you for it. Amen. I just want to address, if you allow me to, that I'm very thankful to be in my Father's house, Heavenly Father. I'm very thankful to be in my spiritual Father's house. I'm very thankful to be in the house of the Lord this morning with the saints. I recognize the president and his wife and other ones who are in the ministry. And again, thank you, Brother Wallace, for the privilege of speaking in your vineyard. So we laid all of that down before you. And I want to share a word, just one word this morning we're going to speak on. And that word is accountable. 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 I have been thinking, asking the Lord to prepare our hearts for what he has for us. And I want to give a little illustration this morning. I had occasion to have a young fellow in the military work for me this summer, in the summer, previous summer before that. And he is a second lieutenant in the Air Force. And he graduated from a military school. He was the top of his class. He was in charge of 1,600 cadets. And he passed with a 4.0 average. And the Lord gave him to me for the summer. And I was so thankful that he was there. I'll tell you why. Because all I had to do is lay it out before him. This is what I would like to have done today. And that was the end of the story. At the end of the day, every last thing that I said that I asked to have done, it was done. But the point is, it was done how I wanted it to be done, not how he wanted it to be done. He was accountable. Now, there's a little more story about this young man. He went on to a higher school after he got his master's. He was online this summer to get his master's. He created that, so he went back to active duty. He will be working for security, investigating over in the foreign land. I'm not to mention where it is because it's very private, but he would be something like the FBI in the Air Force in security. So he was a very valuable member to Uncle Sam. But he certainly was a very valuable member to Dan Gasaway this summer because he was absolutely a gift from the Lord, and I appreciated it. All right, so this morning, as we look at accountable, we will be accountable, and I want to look at 1 Peter Chapter 3, a verse that we're all very familiar with, very, very familiar with. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4. Let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the arraignment of a meek, quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is a great price. A meek, quiet spirit that I did not inherit from my parents. I have that illustration in front of me all of my 56 years of marriage. My dear little wife has the opposite spirit as to what I was born with, and I had to go through the grindstone to understand that the Lord wants us to have a meek and quiet spirit, and it comes at a great price. So we're going to look at accountable, and I am believing God to speak to us. So I'm going to look at Ecclesiastes this morning. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 9. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all of these things, God will bring thee into judgment. For know thou that of all these things, God will bring you into judgment. So let's look at what is known here. God will bring into judgment. So number one, we should have a mindfulness of what comes out of our mouth. We should have a mindfulness of what comes out of our mouth. I say that to you because I believe in my own life. Sometimes when we think we're right, we're like a bull in a china closet. We're going to do what we have. It's right, and that's what it is. But, you know, we have to understand something. Sometimes we can be as right is, and be absolutely wrong in our spirit. So we want to follow along this little word of accountable. I have something to say about it. The Lord wants us to listen and hear what comes out of our mouth. Listen, not just run our mouth. We're very capable of that. I'm capable of that. You're capable of that. Running our mouth, not even hearing what we're saying. We just have a spontaneous combustion. Somebody says something we don't like. Boom, out it comes. But I just read a verse that says we will be accountable. Know this, we will be accountable. All right? I want to go along a little farther. You know, I told you how old I am. But, you know, I've learned something. The decisions that I made in my youth determined some of my destiny. The decisions that I made on my own determined my destiny. And you know, in destiny, then it determines the path that I will walk forever and ever and ever and ever in eternity. There's no getting away from that. So the decisions that I made come back through my mind at 85, if you please. And I understand that these decisions that I made, I wasn't listening. I wasn't paying any attention. I was just running how I wanted to. And we'll get to that, all right? So what we study and that which we learn will mold our minds. What you study and what you have learned will mold your minds. There is no way about that. And I'll quote Proverbs, just out of reference, Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You know, I will bring this subject up. I'm not one for it. We want to be careful about philosophy, because philosophy has a tendency to take a man's spirit as far away from Almighty God as it can possibly be. I have maybe 30 people that work for us, or no, that's not right. I have 30 people that work at a daycare that we are involved in. And one of them is an excellent, excellent worker. And she just got her degree from philosophy. And her spirit is like a shell. There is nothing there whatsoever about the Spirit of God. Nothing. It's zero. She doesn't have any attraction. She doesn't have anything. And I said, well, Lord, what is wrong there? That the work that she's been down to, philosophy, has literally spoiled the things that God has for you and I. And I want to read something, and Isaiah has something to say about that. In Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah chapter 42. Here's what God has in store for us, for those who have had a problem. I'll read verses 6 and 7. Isaiah 42, verse 6 and 7. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thy hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and from them that sit in darkness and out of the prison house. Be assured, Satan doesn't let anybody out of his prison house. You cannot get out of the prison house of darkness on your own. It takes the working of the blessed Holy Spirit to release you or I. And so as these things come upon us, we're accountable. We have to be very sure that we are in an accordance with what God has for us. I want to look at that little verse I quoted in Ecclesiastes about youth. Youth, you got to be very careful about unwanted emotions. Someone else's emotions, they want to put them on you. They want to make contact with you. You had to be mindful. Had to be mindful. I'm going to give you illustrations. We probably have maybe, I don't know the ratio, but in the 30 years that we've been there, I've watched couples who work together start to have some type of a connection. Reaction starts out with the emotions first. So the next thing we know, they're so-called a recognized couple. So next thing you know, I have somebody who works for me and says, Mr. G, they call me Mr. G, that's fine. Mr. G, can I have this Friday off? It's our anniversary. I said to myself, your anniversary, you're not even married. What are you talking about? So it's the first time my so-called accountants, acquaintance, got together, and so they're celebrating it. I just looked at him and I said, if you want to take a time off that you have coming to you, go right ahead. I did not mention, I'm not going to recognize the emotional areas that happen. And so I'll bring it right down before us. Youthful pleasure. Youthful pleasure. I'm telling it to you as it is, because I want you to know we are accountable. We are accountable. Youthful pleasures, evil practices of fleshly lust. Young people, you're up against about the worst that ever can happen. Lust is lust. People just look at each other and the lust connects. And I'll give you an example. This summer, we had a young fellow. He was the wrestling champion of New Hampshire in his weight class and went on to be in the sectional. But he had a problem. He had a tremendous problem with lust. And his pleasure was to assault as many women that he can get his hands on, and I found out through the back door of talk that he had three acquaintances that summer with other people that wanted to have the evil lust experience. It's all around us. We will be accountable. We will be accountable. We are living in a time when evil and darkness is all around us. And these things are happening. All right, I want to go a little bit farther, if you allow me to. And over in Ecclesiastes, back a couple pages, I want to read another verse. Verse 10 in Ecclesiastes 11, verse 10. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. You know, when we get involved in these type of situations, it causes such sorrow. Such sorrow. We are accountable. And suddenly these things get exposed. What happens? We come to the Lord. We have to ask the Lord for forgiveness for these things that happen in our life. But I'm talking this morning that we need to understand something. That these spirits that are happening are going through our youth. They're going through our young people. They're going through marriages. It's something that causes sorrow. And only God can deal with it, all right? Now, I want to look at something, if you just follow along with me, all right? It says, as you well know, in Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 3, you are very familiar with this scripture, that speaking about meekness and righteousness will be a covering for us in the judgment day of the Lord. And just to clarify this in our pure minds, if you allow me to, as we know about the tabernacle of Moses, we know about the outer court, we know about the holy place, and we know about the holiest of all. We were singing this morning. So if you would just allow me to, with my hands, here's the outer court. And then here we go to the holy place and holiest of all. That's where the covering is. The covering that covered the tabernacle was between the holy place and the holiest of all. Here's what happens when we're living loosely and we're living with no accountability. We've given our hearts to the Lord, but we're in the outer court. We're living how we want to live. We're not accountable to God, but we have accepted him into our spirit. In the day of the Lord, the covering is over the people that are in the holy place and the holiest of all. They have God's covering. So I ask you this morning, we are accountable as to whether we want to be without a covering in the day of the Lord and judgment, or do we want to be under his covering and be accountable? So I want to look at one of these areas of accountable. It's called negative words. Negative words. Negative words that we say and negative words that other people say. Has anyone beside me ever said a negative word? Yeah, some of us are truthful, right? When you hear a negative word come out of your mouth, ask God for discernment. You say, well, ask God for discernment for what? Ask God for discernment to identify the spirit that is using you to give a negative word. And then we are responsible when we're hearing a negative word towards us or towards somebody. Ask God for discernment. So you will identify what spirit is being used, even in yourself, as a conduit. You're given a negative word. What spirit is using you? Start asking God for discernment to ask what spirit is being used in me first. And then after that, whatever you're hearing, all right? I believe this is the time that we need to start asking God for things that are happening. We need to listen. We need to hear, right? Because what is happening, we're saying to ourselves, well, tomorrow I'm going to do this. Next day I'm going to do that. Then I'm going to go on vacation. I'm going to do that. Then we're going to have a little time and I'm going to go visit this and visit that. But you know, in James chapter 4, verses 13 through 15 has something to say about that. It says we are not to say that we will do this or do that on a certain day. But if the Lord's will, we shall do this or that. You know, when we're young, we think we can do anything in our own strength and back and forth. You know, I thank the Lord for what he gives the ability to continue to serve him. But I also know that this is the time when God speaks to us about accountability. He speaks to us about negative sentences. Sometimes we are saying it, and sometimes someone else is saying it in our presence. And if we could just ask the Lord, why do we want to ask the Lord? So that we could be mindful that we want to stay under his presence, covering. I do not want to come out from underneath the covering of God. I know what it is. I know what it is to have the Lord have to shake me and bring me into accountability and say, you are not under my covering. I trembled. I'm not under your covering, Lord. So we want to be under his covering. We want to be under his watch. We want him to watch us, look and see what's going on. Well, you know, as we look at these things, I'm going to turn back to Ecclesiastes, if you will with me, Ecclesiastes. I think that, well, we'll turn to chapter 12, please. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. You know, I believe that we need to come into consideration that dust is dust, and our old clay is going to turn back to dust. But let's remember what the Lord has to say here so that we will understand. In verse 7 of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, but the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. But the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. You're probably just like me. You've had loved ones. They have returned to dust. You don't see them anymore. You don't hear them anymore. They're gone. And I think about my mentor, Dr. Bailey. You people had the privilege of hearing him every Sunday morning. Every time the Spirit of God spoke through him, you were going to be held accountable because you were hearing truth. Truth. And so, to much is given, much is required. I understand that. I understand that. And with this word accountable, let us, you know, we'll look at this verse, but I want us to understand something. We cannot escape what we're going to be accountable for. I mentioned to the youth. Now, I want to look again here, if you follow along with me, all right? Return unto God who gave it our spirit. What are we going to do with our spirit? I talked to somebody one time, and they were saying to me, I don't know what you're talking about. I said, well, give me your hand. And he gave me a hand, and I squeezed it a little bit. He said, hey, you're hurting me. I said, oh, that's your body, and then that's your mind, your soul, telling me it hurts. But you know what? You told me, you didn't say it to me, but in your spirit, you told me, if you let go of my hand, I'll show you. Spirit, body, soul, spirit. We have a spirit. Our spirit, you might say, oh, well, I'm going to turn to dust. It's the end of the matter. It's the beginning of the matter that our spirit lives forever. So this word of accountability came so strong to me as to give account of what we have done. If it hasn't been or brought before the presence of the Lord for forgiveness and repentance, we need to. Because with the youth, we did what we wanted to, when we wanted to, and how we wanted to. And we think, oh, well, all I got to do is ask the Lord for forgiveness. That's true in one area. But it's also true that what you do determines your destiny. I'm only here this morning because of the grace of God over my life. I wanted to be something else, very much so. And it took the divine intervention to change my course and put me in the path that I'm in now. It came to the place where I realized my spirit had been visited by the Spirit of God. Our spirit is visited by spirits through the day. Spirits come and they lock in on your mind. They say all kind of things in your mind, spirit. And we got to be very careful what we cultivate and what we don't cultivate, especially in youthfulness, especially, because it will determine what we pay attention to in that spirit. It will determine our destiny. It will determine yours, and it will determine mine. But I want to bring it one step higher. When we are together and something happens, and there's disagreements, this is when that negative spirit comes up the quickest, when there's disagreement. And people want to bring their point across. And you need to ask God for discernment. What spirit is saying that? And it will tell you what is right and what is wrong. If you ask for discernment, God will tell you exactly what it is, and you'll know whether that spirit is right or whether it's wrong. Once you lock in on discernment, then we understand that. All right, I want to follow along. What have you accomplished for God's glory? What have you accomplished for mankind? Have you been a blessing or have you been a burden? We're accountable for it. If we have a meek and quiet spirit, we'll be a blessing. But sometimes, when we're so forceful and we want to get our way and we want to push, we're a burden. And you know, sometimes when you listen to somebody in a conversation, suddenly it changes. It changes from something that you can accept, and suddenly it becomes a burden for you to listen anymore. What happened? What happened? The Spirit of Christ in you has no connection with the spirit of darkness. And you need to pay attention to that. You need to pay attention. We want to be involved in being a blessing in the kingdom of heaven. Amen? We don't want to be a burden. That means this time in our way of living, spiritually speaking, we need to pick up and we need to mature. And we need to come out of the place of where I'm just going to listen to the pastor Sunday morning or whatever. I'm going to listen maybe Sunday, Wednesday, whenever you have it. But the point is, we never come to the place of accountability. God has his hand on your life, and he has his hand on my life, so that we will be a blessing to be in the glory of God that's coming. We want to be a blessing. You know, I'm going to give you an illustration. We have little children, or pre-K, they call them, before age 5. And I watch the mothers come in the morning here's little Johnny, about age 4, and heavy little thing, and on the mother's shoulder. So here she comes whipping in with him, holding him. She's got the backpack down here, you know, and I'm saying, well, why don't you put that boy down and let him walk? Doesn't want to. He has mother's attention. And she knows that she's got to leave him and go to work. So here comes the act. Soon as he knows, here comes the tears. Oh, boo-hoo-hoo, mommy, mommy, mommy. You know, he knows mama's going to work. He knows that every day. You know, it's like us Christians sometimes. We want the Lord to carry us when we should be walking on our own. We are accountable for what we have learned and what we have studied and what we have been taught. We're accountable. All right. I'm going to come to a closing on this, if you would allow me to, all right? Well, Lord, speak to me. I'm 85. Chances are that I'm going to pass off into accountability probably quicker than any of you, mostly, all right? So I'm very concerned. I'm very concerned. How will I be accepted when my spirit passes off into the kingdom? Well done? Faithful? You produce what you were supposed to? Or depart from me, you wicked or unprofitable servant. So we will be accountable. You and I will be accountable in our spirit, whether you like it or whether you don't, or whether I like it or whether I don't. We will come before the Lord, obviously. That's found in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 through 15. It's speaking about the great white throne judgment. Great white throne judgment. I want to put this down. We will all be called to give an account of our life, as short as it is. I'm on borrowed time. The Bible says 70. That's 70. I'm 15 years over. I'm on borrowed time. I am to give an account of those years that the Lord has extended in my life. I want it to be a blessing in the kingdom. I'm not interested in mankind or money. I'm very capable of making money if that was the way it had to be. But that's been put aside because I'm going to stand in front of the Lord. And I'm going to remind ourselves about that this morning, that in the judgment day, we have no second chances for redemption. When you and I stand in front of the white throne judgment, there's no second chances. There's no pardons. Like the President of the United States can pardon convicted people out of jail. There's no such thing as that when you and I stand in front of the judgment seat of the Lord. Everything is open. So the things that we're saying, accountable, we will be accountable. We will be accountable. And I, understanding in my own heart, all right, I'm going to close with this. This will be our last act of accountability. When we come through life like today, yesterday, other times where you work, the boss comes up to you and asks you if you've done this or this or that, and you're held accountable. My last act and your last act of being accountable is when we stand in front of the Lord to give an account of how we have lived. And it goes right from our youth right up through 85. I want to bring back to our remembrance this morning the covering that God has in his day that's coming. Yes, we could be saved. Yes, we could be walking very loosely out in the outer court, but probably have to give up our lives in some type of slaughter or man-made way of causing disaster to the left of the church that Satan can get his hands on. But there's another part of the church that has given accountability to what God says. And they want to seek him. They want to walk with him. They want to get close to him. They want to hear what he has to say. They want to give an account now and get things straight so that when they stand in front of him, no second chances, no pardons, it's over. So that my heart this morning is just that. We will be accountable. I thank God for the glory of God that's coming. Oh, how I want that. I certainly do. But I tell you what, God wants each one of his children to know that one day he will be the judge. He will be the judge. And he will be the one that will have to stand in front and give an account. So be mindful. Be mindful again. Listen to what you're saying. Listen to what you're hearing come out of your mouth. Listen to what other people are saying in negative, and don't join in with it. Ask God what spirit is speaking through that negative sentence. What spirit is that? We don't want to be part of disruption. Quiet and meek spirit comes at a price. This brings harmony in the spirit when we have a quiet and meek spirit. And what helps us is to be able to identify what negative spirit is being used by Satan, the name of it. We understand that? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are so good to us. You are so good to us. I thank you for the privilege of being here this morning. I thank you, Lord, for bringing to our remembrance everything that I said. I will have to stand in front of you and give an account. I pray, Lord, that the words of truth may be spoken, that we in turn may be a people that understand that we will be accountable. And we want to be in your kingdom. We want to be used in your kingdom. We want to be a blessing in your kingdom. So I pray that you would speak not only to their hearts, but mine also, for the oncoming revival that's coming upon us. Oh, how we desire to be a blessing in that. So continue to move, blessed Holy Spirit, in us. Continue to bring to our remembrance that we will be accountable for everything that is spoken out of our spirit and out of our hearts. I ask for all the help of heaven to come down upon us, that we may come together and be used of God to be a blessing in Zion Fellowship. Thank you for it. Amen. Amen. Brother Wallace, we turn things over.